In the last days of the Bush administration, the administration has issued a controversial federal rule that allows health care workers to refuse to provide services that they find morally objectionable. Now, for decades, the law has allowed doctors and nurses to refuse to provide objectionable procedures like abortion. But this new rule, called the Provider Conscience Rule, is much broader, applying to any service from abortion to birth control to artificial insemination. And it applies to any provider from ambulance drivers to pharmacists to the person who sterilizes the instruments in your doctor's office. Joining us to explain more is Dahlia Lithwick, the senior legal correspondent for Slate.com. Welcome, Dahlia.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I was kind of surprised that they're adopting this rule basically at the 11th hour, particularly for an administration that has clearly been opposed to abortion and other similar procedures from the very beginning. Why now?
Well, this is actually one of a whole bunch of what are called midnight regulations. And this is not unheard of. Every administration tries to sort of jam in at the last minute a whole bunch of things that they couldn't get done congressionally or any other way. And there are a bunch of midnight regulations that are pretty troubling. I think this one is extremely troubling. And one of the things that's very interesting about this HHS conscience rule isn't just that it was jammed in at the last minute, but that they forgave themselves at every step of the way for missing all sorts of timing deadlines. In other words, they not only rushed this through at the last minute, but they missed their own deadlines in doing so. So it's sort of doubly egregious.
Because there's no doubt all kinds of procedural goals that they need to meet. But let's describe to us the provider conscious rule as it's been written and some of the concerns about whether or not it's even clear enough to enforce.
Well, I think you've nailed it right there. The problem is it's not terrifically clear. The rule up until now has been quite clear. There's been, as you said, federal protection for doctors and nurses. They couldn't be forced to participate in an abortion. That's been on the books for decades. What this one does, as you said, is broaden that out so expansively that we're not even completely clear on who it applies to. Moreover, we're not clear on what sorts of services it applies to. One of the things that's particularly troubling is not just the vagueness of the language, but it looks to include even basic medical information, such that a doctor who objects to abortion need not tell a patient, for instance, that he's seen something on her scan that might suggest that there's a problem with the fetus. So it's not simply services. It crosses the line into the ability to decline to provide important medical information that could help women make good choices.
But Dahlia, do these regulations explicitly shield doctors from legal challenges? I mean, there's no way a regulation can actually do something like that.
What it says is that federal funding will be cut from any medical institution or hospital that doesn't provide these protections. So it's a pretty attenuated way of getting, you're quite right, it's a pretty way attenuated way of providing protection to the physicians. But what it essentially does is threaten to cut funding if hospitals don't enforce the regulations as vague as they are that are on the books now.
And it's also possible, though, that it will conflict with any given state law.
Well, that's true. And in fact, the Attorney General in Connecticut is already saying he's going to bring a lawsuit challenging it. Many, many states have conscience laws. This is not simply a federal rule that they're overriding. What they're doing is tinkering with the laws on the books in different states. And each state has arrived at a very different, very nuanced compromise on this question. So Connecticut is saying not only is this a sort of federalism question, a states' rights question, where you have run roughshod through an agreement that we have made as a state with our physicians and nurses, but that you've also really, obliterated a very, very carefully worked out compromise that was very clear and was understood by everybody, and replaced it with this rule that in effect seems to give the right of a veto to any medical provider, as you said, including an ambulance driver, a pharmacist, or someone who sterilizes needles.
I just find this whole thing, Dahlia, to be another constitutional insult on the way out on the part of the Bush administration. And, the Clinton administration was just as guilty of it. Why these legal regulatory manipulations at the end? Can't the Obama administration simply reverse them
right
on its first day of office?
Well, it can't do it on the first day. What it has to do, unfortunately, is get its own HHS to put forth new regulations, and that involves a lengthy comments period, a lengthy public comments period. So it could take months. Now, the shorter way to reverse this will be to have Congress do it legislatively, and there's already several senators who've said that's going to be their priority come January. But the fact is, any way you do this, it's kind of a mess. And underlying this legal question you're asking about, how do we undo this, it also relaunches this very, very ugly abortion debate that I thought we managed to sort of elide in this last election. I thought Obama did a nice job of turning down the temperature on this, of trying to be moderate and trying to say, you know, let's agree to disagree, let's try to be principled. He took a stand that was quite dramatic, saying, you know, he opposes abortion, he's going to try to decrease unwanted pregnancy. All that seemed very thoughtful and careful, and this seems to really have escalated something that we were doing a good job of talking through in a more sensible way.
Well, yet another thing to add to his very long list of things that President-elect Barack Obama is going to have to address immediately when he gets into office.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.